I'd like to welcome everyone into the new year for our RTS meeting in January. I'd like to remind everyone to use your microphones because the meeting is audio recorded. And also I'd like to thank Adam and all the hospital staff over the Christmas period, ensuring that the venues and services and cleansing services come back on track after the number of storms that we've had, which we commend it, as well as I'm sure we can all see a considerable improvement in the service itself, so to be commended on that as well. If we go to declarations of interest, none. And if we move on then to item 3, which is the action statement of the speaker for the interviews. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7. And has anyone any issues with the action statement? No? Okay. So if no issues there, we can move on then to items 4 through the 8, which will be in Anthony's jurisdiction. Anthony, if I can hand over yourself, please.
Thank you, Chair. We have the usual suite of reports before you, and I'm happy to take any questions that you might have on those. The one additional item, and there's a short report at item 5, I think it is, update on improving planning application processing times. And this is what we would intend would be a regular report coming before the committee to report on overall performance, how we're progressing in terms of meeting statutory targets, measures that we're taking within the department to improve performance. So hopefully that will be a monthly update, and we will build on the report that's before you there. But that's really all I propose to say on that, and I'm happy to take any questions that you might have in relation to the reports that we traditionally present to you and that new report.
Thanks, sir.
Thanks, sir. Just in relation to the
it was a time limited exercise over a period of about 6 to 8 weeks, and in that time, on that overtime exercise, we probably dealt with about 150 applications and moved them through to decisions. So in that sense, it was, it was a worthwhile exercise. I don't think we would plan at this stage to seek to repeat it, because we're getting, we're getting reasonably close to a sort of manageable caseload, with about 870 applications in the system. If we get that down to around 750, which we're not too far off, that, given the staffing that we have, represents a manageable caseload.
Yeah, I think it's all welcome, and the only thing I would look in the long term, Auntie, and obviously looking towards the end of this term of council, which we'd like to think going into the new term of council, that we would have that as soon as we possibly can. Because we're all realistic enough to know it wasn't going to happen overnight, it'll take a number of years, but I think we need to do it. And I think if it's not straight away, then at some other stage between now and the end of the council time, then we should be looking at doing a couple of similar schemes. So that if you take it 150 and you do it twice between now and the end of the term, it's not 300 off on top of whatever else would be removed between now and then.
When you say the end of the term?
The end of this council.
In 2019?
Yeah.
I'd like to think we'll have dealt with those long before.
But it's making sure we have some.
Yeah. Well, just on that point, currently, we have reduced, when we talk about the legacy applications, that is applications that predate this council, you know, we have reduced that figure to below 70 applications. So that is all that we have got left from the DOE days, and that is a significant reduction on what it was. And you'll see on the next committee list there are several of those applications up for decision. So, you know, there is significant progress being made.
Yeah, no, I think we have a good deal to work on.
Yes, Chair, on that point actually, I think we've got circa 65 applications that are over 3 years of age, and during the 2 month overtime, 30 of those are being brought through the system now for decision. So what we have promised to the planning committee is a detailed breakdown of those 65 and where we are with them to a point of when we can actually sign those up, hopefully over the next 18 months. They're not easy, there are issues associated with all of them, but 30 have definitely been looked at in detail during that overtime period.
Councillor, any other queries for Anthony? Councillor Park.
Chair, just Anthony, in regards to the operating protocol and request for information, once the application has been considered and the agency get the information back within 3 weeks, how is that rolling out? And how is the agents and architects engaging in that process?
It's a mixed result. I think it's probably fair to say that there's been slow to catch on, possibly, that, you know, we really were serious about imposing deadlines. But the message is getting out there. It has to be said, some of our staff have maybe misinterpreted the purpose of that change in the protocol, so there's been a few teething problems with it. But generally, it's working okay. There are some who are maybe not quite taking us seriously, and that has presented some challenges, and, you know, elected representatives may have been on the receiving end of quite a number of calls because we have placed ultimatums out there. But overall, it's where we have to go, and it places responsibilities both on the east and on ourselves, you know, to make sure that the agents are clear in terms of what information we're seeking from them. And there have been occasions when we haven't been clear enough in terms of what's been needed. So, you know, we have work to do on our side as well. But overall, it's all okay.
And just as in regards to the most recent appeals, they have all been defendant, and the officer's recommendations or decisions are being backed up when they go to appeal that they are the right decisions. I think that gives confidence to the whole committee and I think the whole council. So I suppose it's a big motion to all the staff in regards to that as well, to bring that back as well.
Thank you very much, Councillor Clark. Has anyone else got any queries or questions for Anthony? If not, I notice that items 4 through 8 are all just for noting. We can move on then to items 9 and 10, which are both for facilities management members. Item 9 being the report regarding what's up at Crawford Park Investment, and if I can hand over to Kevin Sullivan at this point.
Chair, as agreed at the last month's meeting, a site meeting did take place and took place on 15th of January. It was attended by Chairperson Councillor Mulgrew, Councillor Pete Byrne, Councillors Larkins, Casey, Stokes, Andrews and Hart. There's a discussion at the meeting, but no agreement could be reached, with two opposing recommendations coming from the meeting. The first recommendation was for the bus yard to be retained in its current position without turning it 180 degrees, as we had previously discussed about. putting the back panels in and starting to allow it to be used as designed. And the counter to that was that it should be removed and that an alternative location should be sought. The one consensus from the meeting was that the members considered that a bus shelter in that location, that area, was appropriate given the high usage of the bus service through Clockway Park. The bus shelter, councillors, is partially completed and in its current condition provides no benefit to anyone. It's been in the location now for almost 12 months in that partially completed condition. Local residents have raised concerns, but I am not aware of any evidence that has been provided so far to indicate the bus shelter in its current location is providing issues in terms of antisocial behaviour, albeit that it's not completed. To continue with it at the moment seems impossible to get an agreement, and therefore is no benefit to the people who desire the bus shelter, and is no benefit to the people who also complain about the bus shelter. The report recommends some sort of process to move this issue forward, which will recognise the needs of those who want a bus shelter, but also take into account the concerns that have been expressed by local residents. And within the report, under item 3, the recommendation is provided. The recommendation is that the bus shelter is retained in its current location and is completed with the installation of the back panels to the shelter. Local residents living in close proximity to the shelter be written to, advising of the council's intention and providing an agreed contact within the council with whom they can report any concerns which arise for recording purposes and also for action. An agreement also be reached with TransLink during this period of time, whereby they actually provide us information. It could be a sample survey, one day a week, one day a month or whatever, where their bus drivers provide information about, are people actually using the shelter? Are they standing under the shelter? So that the council can be satisfied that the shelter is providing the valuable service to local residents that we believe it may. The last part of the recommendation is that then on a 3-monthly basis that I would report back to the committee here with the findings of those two aspects. One, whether we've had any complaints about antisocial behaviour arising at the bus shelter and the action that has taken place as a result of that, and also information concerning whether the bus drivers are finding that people are actually using the shelter that is providing a service for the local residents. And the committee can then assess that information and make a determination about whether the bus shelter should be retained or whether it should be removed. If we find that issues are arising which cannot be controlled, then that clearly would be an argument for removing the shelter. If we also find that the bus shelter isn't being used, that no one's actually standing within the bus shelter, it would also be an argument to say that the bus shelter should be moved to somewhere else where it will actually provide a service. But counter to that, if we're finding that there are no complaints in terms of antisocial behaviour and it is a shelter that is being well used, then that is an argument for retaining it in its current position. Sure, that's the recommendation that the officers are placing before yourselves.
Condition to that to that family, and you know that has been going on since last February, and I think it's already caused significant stress to that family. And I appreciate certainly with the work the officer has done, and it's a lovely time for them to build the other an alternative location that we find that would not cause the stress to the stress to this family. Special needs that are tutored and really have enough to deal with the stress that we're putting on them. So I propose that we would not go ahead with the current location and try to find a next year.
Councillor Young.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I would propose that we accept the recommendations.
Chair, I second that proposal. And I suppose, this is back to the full committee. And apologies for not getting to the meeting itself. It's less of an honor meeting than there was that I had to go to. Tried to get it rearranged, but it wasn't possible. But now, in my opinion, it has changed. There's no evidence of antisocial behaviour, either from the PSNI or Transport NI or TransLink. There's no evidence brought forward that there is antisocial behaviour at this location. And I think there's a responsibility and an onus on us as a public body to ensure everything possible to be undertaken to ensure that people have good quality infrastructure and good quality access to public transport. And while I understand the rationale and some members bringing it forward, that there could be anti-social behaviour, as I said, there has been no evidence to say there is anti-social behaviour. So I think within the recommendation, there are safeguards there that will be monitored on a regular basis every 3 months over the year period. I think that does give a comfort to even the people that subject within the proposal of the bus shelter. As I said, citizens, the amount of citizens who are in dire need of that bus shelter, the young children going to school, the senior citizens looking for the shelter from the elements, I think there's no of us that we have to go ahead with the bus shelter. So that's why I'm seconding the proposal.
Just to second Councillor Stokes' proposal, where Councillor Parker wasn't able to get to the meeting that day because of the commitments, but I'm aware of the issues anyway. I've been involved in previous meetings on this issue. The proposal Councillor Stokes made isn't reasonable. We're no one saying that there shouldn't be a bus shelter in the area. I certainly know that the Councillor couldn't support a proposal of that nature. What's proposed by here in state is that the location is found that is acceptable to everybody. And say, I've expressed concern previously about the fact that we have pressed ahead with us, given the concerns of what I'm doing, but I would certainly second Councillor Stokes' proposal and encourage others to support that. Councillor Burns.
Sure,
I'd
just like a little bit of advice from any officer who will provide for our director. In regards to the implications of the first proposal that was on the table here, if we have a partially built bus shelter and there is no antisocial behaviour, but certainly a fear of antisocial behaviour, whether that be reasonable or unreasonable, it certainly doesn't matter. Should we decide to make this decision today and remove that bus shelter, and another member of the public, because I think we probably all know somewhere where somebody has said there is a council asset and there's been antisocial behaviour, or we're worried about antisocial behaviour. That has happened in nearly every play park that I can think of. I mean, I know it was an issue in Onswell, it was an issue in Castle Allen, it was certainly an issue in Downs Road in Newcastle, where people have complained to the council to say that this is a hub for antisocial behaviour. And it's happened in bus stops in Onswell, it's happened in bus stops in Newcastle, I know, bus stops again in Castle Allen. If a single member of the public or a family write in and say, we want to be treated with the same level of equality and the same level of citizen, we're ratepayers, just like the people in this estate or this one family who contacted their local councillor, are we obliged to treat each one of these cases in the same way that we're treating this one and remove that piece of infrastructure or resite as it's currently been proposed? Are we leaving ourselves very open here to legal challenge if we don't? And what would be the financial implications to the council if we had to go down a route like that? The cost for removing pieces of infrastructure, does that fall completely on our lap? I mean, are we basically, the council, saying we'd give up on the policing structure to deal with antisocial behaviour, and we're just going to remove carte blanche facilities that are being used because people are afraid that they may be used to become antisocial behaviour hubs at some stage in the future?
If I can maybe let Kevin Sonny come back in, and then I'll come back to you, Councillor Chair, if that's okay. Thank you.
Sure, I'm not sure I have an answer for that one, to be honest. I think it would be one that we would need to seek some sort of legal advice on. At officer level, we won't take a decision on that basis. If we do get complaints in terms of a facility, we're not going to take a decision to remove a bus shelter or a play park. That will be something that the council would have to take a decision on. But the council makes some valid points. and certainly need consideration. If we do take the decision here to remove it, then it is open to other people to make the argument that they should have the same treatment applied to them as we may apply in this particular circumstances. But for a full view of the matter, I think we'd have to consider our own legal advice in relation to it.
Sorry, just re-taking Councillor Taylor, just to come back on that very, very, very briefly and tell us. If the vote tonight is to go down this route and the numbers are to support it, well, before this recommendation gets to full council, can we have a legal opinion on that so then we don't delay it by another month, that we can turn around? Because if the legal opinion comes back and says that yes, you are putting yourselves in a position where you will have to review every single piece of infrastructure that you have, that there's access to the public day and night, then we would be running up a bill astronomical amount of money. I couldn't even guess it what that would cost us. I think it'd be important to have that piece of legal advice before we voted in something like that.
Well, I could just bring in the hand of it this point, sorry.
At the moment, relative to how this decision is being weighed up, obviously considers any evidence that we've got that confirms antisocial behaviour. And Pierce and I and others were obviously engaged in the meeting that took place. Agreement couldn't be reached, but at the moment a decision will be taken on what you know. And I think that's the same with any other decision that the council is obliged to make within a democratic process and within a budgetary restraint process. You will always make a judgment as to what's before you. And at the moment, if there is a vote that goes one way or the other, there's obviously another opportunity at full council. And thereafter, if there are aggrieved parties, they can submit their grievances. And again, they will be weighed up against any evidence that we've gathered in the meantime. So it doesn't set a precedent. It's like every other decision that you're tasked to make. You will weigh up the pros and the cons of the risks. And at the minute, as officers, we haven't relayed risk associated with this. But what we have said is if there is risk of any antisocial behaviour, that's going to be monitored to allow a further decision in the future to remove it if there is such an issue that has occurred during its presence. So at the minute, I don't think there's a need for any legal advice on any decision that's taken, but there are other opportunities moving forward, as I said, for council and so on.
That's okay.
Thanks. With regard to it's not just a case of antisocial behaviour. We can't say that we're in a public forum here and we didn't like to go too much detail, but it's the medical issues that are the issue from here. With one of the residents. That's a major issue for me. To say that the DEA can strive up to a bus shelter in this area when it's already required, but there are issues relevant to the residents affected by this, and that's a major threat for me in terms of the major decision making on this, and that's where I am. But it's not just a case of just antisocial behaviour, it's the fact that one of the residents has got it close with medical issues up here, and
but it seems that we have two proposals and we are going to have a vote on this. So if we take the first proposal, which was a proposal to not progress with the bus shelter.
Excuse me, Chair, the first proposal that was Councillor Rohan seconded by himself.
Okay, well, we'll go for the first proposal then, being the proposal to accept the recommendations of the officers, which was proposed by Councillor Rohan, seconded by Councillor Clark. And if we can have a vote, with these my hands. So, all those in favour?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
And all those against?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
The first proposal falls. We'll take the second proposal. The second proposal is to not progress and to seek an alternative location. And that was proposed by Councillor Stokes and seconded by Councillor Taylor. And again, a show of hands, all those in favour? 7. All those against?
5.
And abstentions?
6.
So the second proposal is the proposal to not progress, but to look for a suitable alternative location has been carried. And Kevin, if we can then maybe ask that to be progressed and the report brought back to this committee.
Which are if that approval is passed by the full council, does that mean that we remove the shelter?
Yeah, we would. Yeah.
Was it a proposal to lease it?
Yes. It's a proposal to set up an alternative location.
Right, just while we're on bus shelters, maybe now while we're discussing this one, we can actually go back to the historic action sheet where there is a bus shelter that has antisocial behaviour around it and has been on this historic action sheet from June 2015. So maybe we could look into having it moved at the same time.
Sure, is that the bus shelter on the old one?
Yeah.
The proposal for that one was that we would not remove it, but change it to the type of shelter that we have in Clockway Park, the one we just finished here talking about, which is the one with a roof and a back panel, but no sides.
Yeah. Well,
if we move on to item 10 is the report regarding the providing update requests for bus shelters. And again, if I can pass over to Kevin.
Sure. This committee recommended that when we get requests for bus shelters that we should consult with TransLink, because TransLink also have a program for providing bus shelters. They have been going through a process of finalising their policy and getting their contractor appointed, so there's been some delay in terms of them responding to the requests we've put through to them. But they now have come back with answers to quite a number of requests. And in Appendix 1 of the report, I'm providing a summary of the response from TransLink. And they have a staged process for considering bus shelters, and they're now telling us that there's 6 requests that we have sent to them that have passed their first stage, which relates to meeting their catchment area accessibility criteria, and it's their intention now to progress to the next stage, which involves them carrying out a site visit and various surveys. They will carry out surveys themselves. The recommendation is that we allow TransLink to continue with those, and the list of them is provided there. They've also indicated a number that they will not be progressing, therefore it's not their intention to consider further the rest of the requests that we have on the list. And the recommendation from ourselves is now we have a definite view from TransLink in relation to those, that we now consider them ourselves under our own policy, and if they meet the policy requirements or they don't meet the policy requirements, we bring back that report to yourselves with a recommendation. There's one particular request which has been a lot of interest from councillors within this committee, and that's in relation to a request for a bus shelter at the Sheepbridge roundabout, which takes passengers from Uri to Belfast. TransLink have indicated that they're not going to progress for that, and the recommendation here, amongst the others, is that we would now consider that underneath the council's policy and bring back a recommendation on that to the committee once those consultations have been complete. Some good news, I suppose, in that there's 6 shelters that they're now moving to stage 2 for TransLink. No guarantee that they will actually all go through that process, but if they all do, that's a saving to the council of something like £24,000-£25,000, because that's what it would cost us roughly to put in those 6 bus shelters. We not also need to maintain those, so that's a saving in terms of maintenance cost. And when they go to replace them at some stage in the future, TransLink will meet that cost as well. So there's some positives in terms of the fact that TransLink are involved in this process, and it will be a saving to the council, both in terms of capital spend and maintenance costs.
And there's a few councillors here, I think, that might come in. So I have Gillian Patrick. Is it Patrick?
Yes. Can I have a question for you, Chair? what would be their criteria? Because you know, I've spoken to Translate for the last number of years on the Belfast and Sheepbridge one, on both sides of it. I didn't think that they were going to, you know, go with it. But I'm just wondering what is the usage of projected, because if you have to go to the Sheepbridge Park and ride, the amount of people that actually need to get a lift, I know that's where people are parking, but some people do park there and try and get the bus as well. That certainly has to look at. I'm also disappointed to see about the Carnegie Road one, because there's so many skilled children that would stand there, and that is actually used by, there is a number of elderly people that live in and around that section of that road who would really benefit from it, and would do well with it, because there is quite a lot of buses who pass there, so it would serve a really good purpose. But I do welcome the one now for the Townsville Park on the Main Street. Again, I'm glad to see they're going to progress with their survey, so well done, thanks, and keep us updated.
Maybe the president and the market company have a better idea.
It's fine, yeah.
Pressure burns.
Yeah, just a couple of questions. The Glasscommon Road on the long times too. There's up two bus shelters, both ends of Glasscommon Road, and on the long or both sides of the road. Just so I get it right in my head, are we saying that the ones that don't pass the council criteria or the transit criteria, council will overtake to do them, or we just wiping them out? So I don't know if I picked you up on.
Then Councillor Andrews.
Thanks so much, Chair. In relation to a contact with the officers in relation to a bus shelter on the Ben Poppy Road in Kilmeny, isn't that bus shelter is a closed in retiree shape one that's been there for a long time, a year? And the fact is, it's local residents are contacting more than just been a menu for antisocial behaviour, especially at night time, and then with damage being done to join the hedges and litter and etc. I'm just wondering, could it be included in the programme works to be replaced by a modern perspex type usual maker that's just commonplace now, because you know, just people's hearts are broken, especially at night time, and then they use it for drinking, etc.
I can let Kevin come in just in the first three, and then anyone who's in the second charge.
Translink do have their own policy for considering bus shelter requests. I haven't seen it, but in speaking to their officers, it has a lot of the same criteria as we would have. My understanding of the reason that they're not progressing with the bus shelter on the Sheepbridge roundabout, which heading towards Belfast, is that it's their view that the majority of the passengers that it serves are being collected by a private contractor and not by an Ulster bus, and therefore it's Translink are not going to provide a bus shelter for the benefit of a private contractor as opposed to their own people. The Glasscommon Road one is it's either side of the main road going through Annalong at the bottom of Annalong. We were looking at that one. Councillor Dolan was quite active in trying to get that one progressed. There's less issues with the one that's going in the direction of Newcastle. There may be some issues with the one which will head in the Kilkeel direction in terms of the location, but we'd have to see how Translink progress with that one. Any below the line, which are not going to stage two for Translink, we will now look at all of those with our own policy and bring back a report on each one about whether or not they meet the criteria and a recommendation either to install or not to install, and we'll do that over the next couple of months. The Downpatrick one in Killyleagh, Councillor Andrews, I know that you've raised that with ourselves, and I suppose, you know, a bit like the conversation we've had previously, I think we need to have the evidence that there is the antisocial behaviour, and you know, where do we get that evidence from? We would get that evidence from PSNI. So if local residents are not raising these issues with PSNI, there isn't going to be the statistics there to show that there is a problem. Again, if we responded to every request to change it to an open structure without the evidence, then we'd spend a lot of money, perhaps in the wrong direction. So unless there's evidence to show that there is an issue, we wouldn't take it forward to change it. So we need to get that evidence, Councillor Andrews.
Councillor Tender.
Thank you, Chair. I want to
concentrate on the Sheep Bridge one. Do you think that the response from Samsung is far from satisfactory? I think everybody in this room is well aware of the contractor or the private operator that does use that route. And my information would be to you that there are over 500 people a day using that service that starts in Hilltown, comes through Warren Wayne or Stabber, up into Newry and on to Belfast. And I would suggest that there's a fair percentage of those 500 people get on with that stuff. So this is the same TransLink company that tried to prevent this operator from using the bus lanes on the motorway, and how they go to court to get that overturned. So it's competition. And it's an absolute disgrace that they're able to use that as a criteria. Having said that, now we know where we are. The council policy, Kevin, how long is that whole process going to take? And can I be so bold as to ask the need for a stop there has clearly been identified for long on any day. Do we now have to go through the policy procedure, or can I not just put a proposal forward here tonight in relation to that?
Chair, it's my view that the council has a policy in terms of where how it will install bus shelters and consider requests, so we would follow the policy. Otherwise, what's the point in having a policy? In terms of how long it will take, it really depends on the resources that I can put to it. We are going through still going through reorganisation in terms of staff. A couple of years ago, when I was involved in these applications, I had the staff there who could actually carry out the works within my own department. That staff now has been split up and it's in different departments, so I'm very much reliant on the goodwill of other officers to undertake this work for me. So it really depends on how I can push that forward with them. So I can't give you any sort of time frame for this, but it'll be as soon as we possibly can put it through the system.
Councillors, there's also been a recommendation in 3.1, which was that the committee can confirm the recommendations as detailed in the appendix of the report. We have not had any proposed reform proposed by Mr. Tenley, seconded by Councillor Clark, and that is the provision of bus shelters is supported through the agreed capital budget. No decision on any of the bus shelter requests referred to Appendix 1 has been agreed, and one considered under Council Policy report with recommendations on each will be submitted to this committee for approval. Thank you very much, Gavin. If you move on to item 11, if I could pass it to Liam Dunstall for this, in relation to Neighbourhood Services proposal.
Thank you, Chair. That's very good. I've been introduced, but certainly we're happy to have a report to you. Chairman, the report followed up on the great recommendation to change the RTF director. The new director of Neighbourhood Services has moved to the service with respect to general service provision. And these are the areas that mostly the council members will be contacted about. So going forward in this year, the Director of the Neighbourhood Services will work to develop a much more joined-up approach of how we deal with areas that comply within a new approach called Neighbourhood Services. Under this approach, we propose that resolution of issues raised is complete within target timetables for refuge, street cleansing, graffiti removal and other services, and they're all as listed in the papers that you have, they're listed alphabetically. An important thing is that with regard from the 50 response times, that we have upgraded our system to make sure that issues are dealt with in a much more structured and efficient manner, especially if we have now dealt with the resourcing issues that we dealt with a couple of months ago in relation to refuge collection and cleansing and trending. So during the period of September, we will seek to design a system that will work best for us, and we'll receive a call through from the public as to how we deal with the issue and then how we respond back to the customers. A big challenge for us will be designing what we call a customer relations management system. This is a system that everybody in the council can tap into. And so customer details and details of the issues recorded, the issues that they raised is recorded. It then, once it's in the system, will be directed to where it can be attended to invest. And practically, it's been three days to the grant actually not within the timeframe that we set. Other aspect that we want to do with this is we want to make get a focus in for our own staff. So it's something as simple as a refuge staff or a refuge crew member or a pre-sending people out there that come across graffiti and they can input into the system. So going forward, we have quite a bit of work to do in 9 months to bring back a system to recommend it to you. So the recommendations I've listed is to try to adopt the principles of the neighbourhood services proposal, and that all directors participate and sign up to the proposals that are there. The second part of the recommendation is referring to the former Campbell's the anti-litter subcommittee group. And council that remember the anti-litter subcommittee, there's a lot of related issues here about the environment and how we deal with refuse and complaints and such things. So we're proposing that the reporting for the neighbourhood services matters come true to the former, well, suggested the former anti-litter subcommittee to be renamed the neighbourhood services committee, with neighbours to be held, with meetings to be held at sufficient frequency to ensure the delivery of the project is in the time frame. So, committee on the table, try that, please, the proposal to be presented to you.
Thank you very much, Liam. If I can bring in Councillor Clark first, please.
Thanks very much, Chair, and thanks for the report. I have to say that it's a refreshing approach, very progressive approach to the council, and I certainly welcome, sure all the councillors welcome as well, but particularly the bit there, and we really welcome it, that this is a one-stop shop where people can log their complaints, and the council can log their complaints where they pass out of the post, and also the many best uses people carry. I think it's a very progressive and modern approach. In regards to the blighter, litter and graffiti, air conditioning and tariffs, we all know what's and how damaging it can be to the reputation of the council. So I think this is this will certainly improve our environment. Even with the graffiti at the moment, the amount of time it takes to get graffiti removed and to try and degrade the graffiti can be up at times and it's very, very damaging to the image of the area. Just to say that I'm happy to propose that we accept the recommendation, but I just want to give you a bit of clarity in regards to I sat in the anti-litter group. It's been a long time since we've met. We were looking at our litter strategy and we're looking at a launch date for our litter strategy, and that was really 6 months ago, or maybe longer. And we were tying in the marine environment also into that strategy also. And there was a marine working group also that was formed. But also in regards to dog pound strategy, that's another issue that we are continuously approached as councillors. And it's just a resource issue. It's my understanding, particularly as I said, we only have one dedicated dog warden. Alan McCarthy is the only dog warden. We've got a part-time officer who, in my understanding, he's taken up another post somewhere else. So to cover that whole area down, even for a dog fellow, there's resource implications, and we're going to have to seriously look at that. But I think the new dog fellow strategy also, alongside our letter strategy, and then they'll be launching that with the positive engagement that Liam's outlined. And also then looking at the modern technology, an app that people can log the complaints in also, and we can track that then through like a traffic light system where it's been logged. And then it's also very useful then for worse different place budgets where we can track the amount of complaints on the type of subject matter, where the issues are, where the hotspots are, where graffiti, where litter and whatever. It helps us as a corporate body where to put the resources. Also tackling anti-social behaviour. We then, in a collaborative way, then feed into the PCSP then, and use their resources also then.
it helps us in a collaborative way moving forward. But I think we need them through strategy, a better strategy, and all kind of strategy moving forward. But very progressive. But there is staff in the patients. I just don't think we have enough staff in regards to that. Liam and Chief Desire are very difficult. But as I said, I'm happy to propose.
Council, is that also just the amendment to have the litter strategy and the dog pound strategy come ahead as well?
Yeah, the litter strategy has. There was draft forms, so it's only a matter of.
Very good.
They go through council, in my own song.
I think they, I mean, said it with provider councillor, the litter strategy has been drafted up, certainly has come to a certain stage. I think that now it can be subsumed into this. Latest approach. Mm-hmm. I think certainly the two map so well. As you remember, we had a lot of programs for different aspects of for the environment. So I think it fits very well in this, and I think that one strategy under the neighbourhood has drawn in the little strategy, I think is the way forward. The query about the dog fighting strategy, I can assure that has been raised by other councillors as well. It's something that we're working through at the moment. We are impacted by we have lost, just to say, a number of staff just moving elsewhere. The recruitment for that replacement has started. So certainly, I hope by when it comes for the start of the week, I'm actually able to back up to numbers again. And we may have the strategy published for that stage.
Councillor Stokes.
Yeah, Chair, certainly second, but it's great to see it. And I think, as we said at a previous meeting, good to see Liam back at the heart of things, and certainly is a very contactable officer on these. But let's be honest, we as councillors get contacted on all the time. Great to see the anti-litter working group, which I proposed to set up some time ago at the centre of it. I think, again, through those meetings, one of the things we're very good at the carrot, and we do a lot of great education and environmental health and everything else, we found that. But the stick isn't there in terms of the penalties. And I think that's what we're missing, whether the fines are there, walking up on the street last week, somebody, carrying past the window, weighing down, but we've all seen it. They're thrown out the window. It's not young people either, it's people who should know better. So I do think we need to look at how we have those fines, because I think at the end of the day, that's what's going to make a difference, because we all want to see our streets the way they should be. Finally, Chair, just Carson Murnan asked me, he was raised on the list, I think, at Grassford, just as we come in our times. The department has a road service to look after that, but is that something we can integrate into the team that's making some contribution or making sure they're doing that, because that obviously has a big impact on how tidy our times are as well, Chair. Thank you.
Just another minute, Mr. Please.
Yeah, I think we would like to be able to even just be a conduit to other partner organisations that impact on the overall environment. So public footpaths, overgrown, grass verges, adjoining highways. I think for the public, they don't care who does it as long as it gets done. So I think the principle of neighbourhood services is to be able to receive all issues, and then we would then communicate them further on and give the customer at least some degree of feedback that we've forwarded on that particular issue. It's not a response to say it's not our responsibility, it's we will do our best to try and influence those who have that responsibility to fix it under that overall neighbourhood umbrella.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm very happy with the proposals. I think also with the name change, I think it does show a certain public emphasis on these particular issues, which are long-running issues. I think it shows commitment from Council. Of course, it has to be backed up by action. Certainly, when people are ringing in to make complaints about certain things, I think we do need to modify our website to make it easy for people to register various complaints. So, as long as it's all followed through, Chair, I think with the necessary resources, I think it's certainly a very positive step. Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair, and I do welcome the college speakers, do welcome the paper, and I think it's setting a roadmap of the schools that are nearby for the new directorate that's coming into play here. But as I say, I do welcome the efforts by the officers and the dog friends strategy. It's slow overdue, and we do like a lot of necrographs here, we do get complaints about the effort center. But again, as what you touched on, is resources. I think resources are rather than acting at this stage. It's a cause of concern, and hopefully coming new financial year we'll maybe get more resources put out across the need for additional staff to deal with the overall district is definitely an urgent priority that we should look at. But again, I welcome the paper.
I can just turn on again and please look right.
Actually, this has been timed purposely on the back of the agreement by members in principle to increase the waste service staffing group, which in turn allows for the return of street cleansing staff to do street cleansing. And with that, therefore, resource plus the 20% buffer, we would certainly hope to see improvement, but also to start looking at that wider neighbourhood dimension. So we've timed it to fit that resource improvement. If there's further resource required, then of course that will come back in future years, but we will set our targets to match the cloth that we have initially and then see if they're sufficient, one, to reduce complaints and two, to improve customer levels of satisfaction. The real issue here is at the minute we don't record any of this in a way that allows us to track it and a way that allows us to prioritise. As Councillor Clark mentioned, we will be able to see very clearly, very quickly, where priority areas are and priority issues keep coming up, so we can then look at that more strategically and proactively. Initially, this will be a reactive service, but over time, we hope to get on top of it so it's proactive and reducing reactive essence. I suppose the future prospect of the resource being applied is reports of missed bins gets taken over by more important things that we ought to be concentrating on our efforts on, because we're doing the basics right first time. That's the general course.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, fundamentally, I'm very happy with the proposal and the recommendations that are in front of us. In terms of the grass verges, I think if we look into it, because this committee has studied grass verges before, that we have strategic sort of town entrances that the council will maintain, and we've done them for economic reasons, and to make our towns better, just more manageable and more pleasant. But outside of that, everything is the department. If we were to open up what we're looking to do here to become a conduit for other departments, I think from a councillor point of view, as much as that would be a useful tool, it will also make a rod for our back in terms of the public. I can foresee that somebody says that grass verge between Castlewell and Newcastle isn't cut the whole way down the road. I complain to the council and nothing's been done about it. You know, where we're becoming then, because we've even heard of the problem, we took it on because we've allowed it to be reported. That itself is not a reason not to do this, what you're suggesting, but I think we would need to do it through the community planning process, where we bring on all the strategic partners and say that if our council portal that we're creating here is to be used as a report mechanism for problems for all the statutory agencies, we need to know what the problems are, the action. That information needs to come back down through. We need to be able to feed it back through our portal. We need to be able to advertise that this is what's done. So I don't think it's just as simple as just saying, right, let's throw the statutory stuff onto it. I think we have to work up towards that. I think for me, we start off with what we're comfortable with and what we have control over, and then we gradually build it up as and when we get cooperation. And for that reason, I would suggest that possibly we add to the agenda for the next statutory meeting of the community planning partnership.
I think there's been a lot of them out there, so please.
Yes, I think they're all excellent points, and we will definitely adopt those suggestions.
Well, it has been proposed and seconded by Councillor Clark and seconded by Councillor Stokes to accept the officer's recommendations. We all agree with it?
Yes.
The last two items are for noting, that is item 12, which is R21 joint committee meetings, in the 26th of October 2017, sorry I can't speak on it, and also the historic action sheet. Has anyone any questions or queries regarding those two items? No, and at that point, technical closure. Thank you all very much for coming.